I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We go up the gut in 20 minutes as Mraz has his NFL picks. He's 12-6 on the year, so he's making you money. And his NFL football food of the week, the always undefeated. And coming up in 40 minutes, my tasty top five, my top five college football games of the weekend as the Big Ten opens up its play this weekend as well. So now four of the five power conferences will be playing college football. The Pac-12 is the lone last power conference not to be playing. So we got a lot of games to pick from, which is good. We'll do tasty top five coming up in 40 minutes from now. But we begin in Baltimore, where the Ravens pull off a trade to help out their defense. Yannick Ngakoue, who had only spent a couple of games in Minnesota after the Vikings had traded for him in the offseason, is now headed to Baltimore. And for the Vikings, this is a pretty sure sign that Minnesota is giving up on the season. And frankly, I don't blame them at 1-5, although it's a pretty damning piece of evidence that at 1-5, the season's already over, that we didn't even hit Halloween, and a Vikings team that were in the final four of the NFC last year are already waving the white flag. But they are. I mean, when you trade away Yannick Ngakoue, you are very obviously saying we're not trying to win this year. We're trying to recoup some draft collateral that we traded for him. Now, for Rick Spielman, look, he nearly got back what he traded for Ngakoue. He traded away, I think, a second and a fifth. Yeah, he traded away a second and a fifth for him, and now he gets back a third and a fifth. So he only loses one round in the deal. But when Spielman says we're still trying to win, I mean, come on, let's get real. You're trading away a starting defensive end, and you're still trying to win this year at 1-5. I got a tough time believing that. Spielman of the Vikings knew that our season's going nowhere. And if we can get something back for a guy that we traded draft picks for, let's do it. So I don't really blame Spielman. Again, it's just a very damning indictment of that organization where they are. I know they've dealt with injuries. But the fact that that team coming into the season or coming off a playoff win on the road of the Superdome and are six games into the season and already trading away their starting pieces means that they have really been a disaster. As for the Ravens, I like the move. I think it might be a little rich for my blood now that this is a huge bounty of draft picks, a 3-5. But is Ngakoue enough to solidify that Ravens defense? I think the Ravens were a little better last year than they are this season, and they still have that can we beat the Chiefs thing hanging over their heads? But Ngakoue has been a good player for about 5 years now. He began his career in Jacksonville with the Jaguars. You might remember he was one of the key pieces of that Jaguars team in 2017, that defense that went all the way to the NFC Championship game. That year, he had 12 sacks. In fact, he's been a pretty solid sack artist over the course of his five-year NFL career. 8 sacks his rookie season, 12 sacks in that 2017 campaign, 9.5 in 2018, last year 8 sacks, and this year already 5 sacks as well. So they need that pressure in Baltimore coming off of the edge. One other thing you can say about Ngakoue, he's always healthy. Every single year he has played all 16 games. He's never injured. So that is huge for the Ravens. So a 3-5, not a ton of collateral. Maybe a third rounder, a little bit much for my blood for Ngakoue, but still, I think it's a smart pick for the Ravens front office to try to build up and pad up that defense, because I think we know the Ravens are good, but they need to be great to get past the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs and the rest of the AFC. I mean, that's the thing. When you look around the AFC, look at how many really good teams there are in the AFC. Of course, we start with the Kansas City Chiefs, even though I don't know if they're the best team in the AFC. But you have a 5-0 Tennessee Titans team, a 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers team, and that 5-0 Steelers team are in your division. So if you think about the beasts of the AFC, the four are the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Titans, and 2 weeks ago we might have said also the Bills as well, but the Bills have taken on the chin the last two games. But so there's four or five really good teams of the AFC, and the Ravens can't really rest on their laurels. So I understand making the pick, or making the pick up rather, and I agree with trying to add to their defense, especially in an AFC where the Steelers' defense is elite and the Titans' defense is very good as well. I think the Chiefs' defense is good. At times, they're very good, but they're not elite. If the Ravens want to get to that next level, I think, yeah, padding that defense is a smart move. So the Ravens go all in. They trade for Yannick Ngakoue. And, oh, by the way, just a little anecdote on the back end of this is look at what has happened to the 2017 Jaguars. This is a common theme that I do here on the DA show, only because, historically speaking, think about how close the Jaguars were to going to the Super Bowl just 3 years ago. They had a 10-point lead on the road at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough in the second half. And they had one of the best defenses in the game building, growing, and they had a good young nucleus. Think about all of the players on that team that are no longer part of the Jaguars or no longer in the NFL. Ngakoue is a member of the Ravens. Calais Campbell is as well. Leonard Fournette is a Buccaneer. Blake Bortles is a Bronco. Mercedes Lewis is a Packer. TJ Yeldon is a Bill. Dante Fowler is a Falcon. Jalen Ramsey is a Ram. I mean, those are all starting players on the 2017 Jaguars. That's only 3 years ago. But boy, does it not feel like a lifetime ago that Jacksonville was in the AFC title game. And again, a breath away. And really, an NFL officials whistle away from being in the Super Bowl. They really should have held on to that game, but the officials did them no favors because, of course, in Foxborough, you get no favors from the officials. But the Jaguars should have been in the Super Bowl, and they have completely dismantled that entire roster, basically, and Ngakoue is just the latest of it. Mraz, what do you think about the Ravens going all in on defense and trading for Ngakoue?
Look, try to strengthen yourself. Just a couple weeks ago, we saw they could not get after Patrick Mahomes, and that was the difference in the game. When Patrick Mahomes gets pressure, like you saw versus the Raiders and to an extent versus the Bills, he at least can be rushed. It's the only way to try to at least slow him because you're never going to be able to contain him. And the Ravens, for all their good defensive players, they just can't get to the quarterback enough. And I think Ngakoue will give them a little bit of that. He's obviously from the local area. He's going to be fueled to want to be a Raven and be a part of this winning culture. You pair him back with a Calais Campbell, who he knew well from Jacksonville. I think it's a slam dunk for the Ravens. Look, how many years now are you going to try to get to the playoffs in this arms race versus the Chiefs and have everybody point the finger at Lamar Jackson and say he can't win a playoff game? Go strengthen that other side of the unit in defense, and I think they did it. I think this is a direct result of losing that game to the Chiefs. They knew they needed to strengthen that pass rush.
Ngakoue grew up in the D.C. area and went to Maryland. He's a Terrapin, so playing for the Baltimore Ravens is kind of in his wheelhouse, so we'll see how that ends up for the Ravens, but it does make sense that Baltimore knew we have to get better, we need to get better. And for the Vikings, this is very obvious. Even though Rick Spielman says that we are not giving up on the season, this is giving up on the season, isn't it?
Totally. Totally. And Danielle Hunter is now done for the year, too. They have no pass rush whatsoever. The Vikings have packed it in. They want to be right in that Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes themselves. Don't fool yourself.
Yeah, it is an interesting flip of the coin for Kirk Cousins because he's a guy that was on that three-year all-guaranteed deal. And then he played well enough. They had gone to the playoffs the last 2 years under him. And so they extended him again. But if they're going to be this bad, now they're not Jets bad. And I don't think there's any way they go up, you know, the 1-15 that the Jets could be the Jets could be 0-16. So I don't think they're going to be the number one pick in the draft. But the Vikings are also pretty okay being the number two or three pick in the draft because at 1-5, in a division that there's no way they're going to catch the Packers or the Bears in. They're no better than the third team. The Lions are probably even a little bit better, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, they are.
But The Vikings have dealt with injuries. Cousins is already. Did you see last weekend Adam Thielen getting into it with Cousins on the sideline again? I mean, it's week six, and Thielen, who's seemingly a pretty nice guy, going after his quarterback.
And by the way, all we've heard is good things about Stephon Diggs in Buffalo and treating Josh Allen, who makes a million mistakes, the right way. So you start to wonder, as much as we all dumped on Stephon Diggs a year ago and I thought he acted like an immature baby, now you're seeing Thielen do this with Cousins. At some point, if this continues to happen with the same guy at the centerpiece of it in Cousins, isn't that a major red flag? I mean, it could be major issues here. And maybe it's not just about Lawrence, from Justin Fields, Trey Lance. They're going to be right in the mix here, the Vikings are, to take a quarterback and replace Cousins.
Right. It doesn't just have to be Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I think Kirk Cousins is probably a guy that wants to do the right thing all of the time. He's a guy that is all about understanding the field, understanding the defense, understanding his responsibilities, understanding the route tree. He is all about the homework that goes into it. You can never take that away from him. But because he is seemingly removed emotionally from things, I mean, the reason that you like that is such a meme is because we're not used to Kirk Cousins saying anything emotional. Tom Brady saying you like that, or Patrick Mahomes saying you like that, or Aaron Rodgers saying you like that is not a thing. It's just what they do.
Right.
But Kirk Cousins saying you like that is like, wow, he's not a robot. I think that's got to rub guys the wrong way because Cousins is never going to be great. He is what he is. He's a serviceable starting quarterback that's never going to be great. And when you are a passionate, fiery teammate and Cousins is not great, you want to see him be something more than just Ned Flanders. Hi, diddly ho, neighbor. Yeah, I'll get the read right next time. I guess I should have seen the linebacker come over the top. I mean, you know, if you're Adam Thielen or anybody, Stephon Diggs, it probably drives you nuts to just see him as a very kind of like all business, never too high, never too low. When you're 1-5, it's going to drive you nuts.
No question. Let's not forget, DA, those guys like Thielen, they were there for the NFC Championship with Case Keenum. And they know that the Vikings went all in guaranteed money-wise for Kirk Cousins to put them over the hump. And now if you're Adam Thielen and company, you got to be looking and going, this guy has set us back. His cap hit, his talent, nothing matches up. And now the Vikings are an unmitigated disaster, trading off pieces.
If it sounds like Mraz is slightly muffled, that's because he's wearing a bag over his head this morning. If you're watching at watchda.com or on the Twitch platform at the CBS Sports Radio channel, you are watching Mraz in a bag over his head after another Giants collapse last night. The Giants led 21-10 with 5 minutes of play. They collapsed. They lose 22-21, two touchdown drives by the Eagles. So, Mraz, we've tweeted out a picture and a video of this. His rant from hour number one to lead off the show, I've tweeted out, and so has CBS Sports Radio, and it is just a true dandy. It's one of the all-time great Mraz meltdowns because it's hard to know what he looks like under the bag, but the bag adds so much. Sean Pendergast, who hosts on Houston Sports Radio 610 for CBS Sports Radio, and you've heard him on weekends here on the network as well, has tweeted in response, I can't stop looking at the lopsided cut on those eyes in that bag. I am dying. Mraz, when did you cut out the eyes on that? Was it before or after you got 3 hours of sleep tossing and turning last night?
It was after. It was 5 a.m. I was going through sound for sound check, and I broke out the scissors. I made sure I had a bag. And I tried to do a little arts and crafts. I put the scissor, punctured the hole in, and did like the roundabout twirl, hoping to explode some eyes. Then I had to rip a little bit out to make sure my eyesight was good. So I think it's a little off. I'm not going to lie. I was never the best in our class, but I could see. I think what matters is I could see.
Well, let's be a little bit more accurate. You were once upon a time very good in art class. However, when you brought home your prize possession,
we're going to bring this up.
Your mom tore it in half to write on it because you guys got into a fender bender. And so your prized art piece that you had spent so much time on had been torn up in front of you. And your mom said there's bigger fish to fry. You started to cry. And this left a lasting mark. You were actually very excited about art. And then it ruined it for your entire life. So let's not say that you were never a good art student.
But that's how much I've distanced myself from the world of art because my mom ruined my life when she ripped that picture in half in the Gran Turismo because she couldn't hit the brake quick enough. and now I got robbed of it. Maybe, just maybe, I either wouldn't be here today or not even caring about the Giants because I could be Picasso if she didn't do that. Or, at the very least, I wouldn't have lopsided eyes and I'd make a damn good paper bag to put over my head.
Were you driving the Gran Turismo or you slammed into the Gran Turismo?
No. My mom had the Gran Turismo. We drove, a backseat that fit one, three kids packed in the back of there. You know, that was the kind of life we were living. And she absolutely rear-ended somebody. And if she's listening, she knows. You were at fault, Mom. I don't know who were ripping up the insurance. You were at fault.
Wow, Nancy Mraz used to drive three little kids around in a Gran Turismo?
DA, not only that, my father's car at the time, a Ford Mustang.
Wow.
So we had three kids with a Gran Turismo and a Mustang. You see all these moms now with SUVs? Try being Nancy Mraz. Gran Turismo or Mustang. Take your pick. Where we fit in the car seat.
Wow. What happened to the Mrazes? Why did you guys kind of size down in your speed and power?
Well, you know what's interesting? In 1996, when we stopped being renters and bought the house, we suddenly had other cars. My guess is they had to sell off the hot Mustang and stuff just to make sure we had the down payment. And suddenly, you know, basically it's been a Hyundai Elantra every year since, so.
Wow, so Nancy got a little frisky behind the wheel of a Gran Turismo and slammed into a car.
Yeah, she definitely did. I was in the back seat. My sisters may not remember. They may be too young. She did, and she ripped up my R project trying to act like somebody else was at fault for that insurance exchange. Ridiculous. And now I can't make proper bag eyes.
When we come back here on the show, Mraz will make his up-the-gut NFL picks through a paper bag, and he'll also have your football food of the week, again, through a paper bag. It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Huffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA show.
This is all part of Mraz's Up the Gut column where he breaks down the NFL. It's a good read if you're an NFL fan. Go to cbssportsradio.com. Click on Mraz's column. Yes, he's a columnist for cbssportsradio.com as he breaks down the NFL week every single week and has done so for many, many years. So last week, only 1-2, dropping him to 12-6 on the year, but he's still making you money. And so we begin with Packers and Texans, this game in Houston. Green Bay coming off a dreadful effort against Tampa Bay. Packers favored by 3.5. Mraz likes the Cheeseheads.
I do like the Cheeseheads. They burned me a week ago. I love them in a pick'em situation versus Tampa, so I'm going to jump right back on that cheese wheel, so to speak. They're going on the road to Houston. 3.5, maybe the hook scares you here, but look, the Packers off a bye, made those turnovers Aaron Rodgers did. He's not going to do that 2 weeks in a row. And the Texans off an emotional division game where they go for two. What's Romeo Crennel thinking? They end up losing to overtime Titans. The Texans, that was their final death knell. They didn't get on that momentum roll of two in a row winning with Romeo Crennel. I think the Packers, this is such a get-right spot on the road in Houston. I don't see how the defense slows Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to be back to pelvis thrusting. I think they win this game by 10 points. I think 3.5 is a gimme here. This is actually my favorite pick of the three. I would even think about this if you have the Packers alive in a knockout pool. Give me the Packers laying 3.5 in Houston.
Yeah, the Texans have been definitely friskier with Romeo Crennel. They got that first win. Last week they got to overtime against the Titans. But it does feel like there is a vengeance part of this. The Packers got humiliated. Aaron Rodgers got embarrassed last week. He got yanked. I mean, there was a part of that last week that you know that the Packers, specifically Aaron Rodgers, wants to wash that stink off. So I could see the Packers winning the big as well in this game. Bills and Jets, this one is at the Meadowlands, and this is a crazy number. The Bills coming off back-to-back losses and looking extremely, extremely lethargic against the Chiefs on Monday night are nearly a 2-touchdown favorite on the road in the division. This is how little Vegas thinks about the Jets and where the public money is coming in on. I saw this at Bills by 9.5 just the other day. Money is pouring in on the Bills. They are favored by 13 points, and you like the Bills even by more than that.
Yes, and actually this morning in a lot of places it's dropped back down to 12, so the pendulum on this number is swinging a lot. Here's the bit. Last week, 1-2, my only cover was the Dolphins laying the 9.5. The Jets are so bad, folks. We're talking about, and I think we might have this conversation, they potentially might end up being the worst team in NFL history. That's how bad they are.
Well, they're not expansion Bucks bad, but for a non-expansion team, they're one of the worst ever.
I mean, they're going to get blown out in every game. It is free money. It doesn't matter. If it's two touchdowns or less on the spread, you need to jump in, especially when they're playing a good team. 24-0 for the Dolphins is going to be nothing compared to what the Bills are doing. Off two losses the Bills have had versus playoff teams, they're licking their chops. Remember, the Bills throttled the Jets in week one up in Buffalo. This is free money. The Bills laying the 13, laying the 12. Jump in where you want. The Jets will be non-competitive again. They have no interest in playing for Adam Gase. This is over. Give me Buffalo laying nearly two touchdowns.
I'll tell you this. If you just bet against the Jets for the rest of the season, you just, whatever the line is, you bet the other team, you'll make money. I do think there's going to be a week where the Jets surprise us, where the offense kind of comes to life. Adam Gase calls a decent game, and they actually upset somebody. I don't think they're going 0-16. I don't think they're going to get blown out every single week. But over the course of the season, you'll make money if you just bet on the team playing the Jets no matter what the spread is.
It's a great philosophy.
Now, the question is, when do they actually get Sam Darnold back? And when they do get him back, what does that look like? Because, I mean, with Joe Flacco under center, it is so gross. Can you believe how ugly Joe Flacco has been?
He's dreadful. That sack he took last week where he drops back about 25 yards for no reason, unacceptable. It does appear like Darnold might be a week away now at this point. He seemed to be getting better according to Adam Gase, but who could believe anything that comes out of his stupid mouth anyway? And Darnold, let's face it, when Darnold gets back in there, he is going to play for his job. He doesn't want the Jets taking Trevor Lawrence. Or maybe he does because he wants to get the heck out and get a fresh start. But nonetheless, right now, if it's Flacco, just lay the wood with the Bills here.
Finally, Browns and Bengals. This one is in Cincinnati. The Browns, coming off getting smoked by the Steelers, are favored by 3. And you're taking Cleveland laying the field goal.
Yes, I am. Remember, the last time the Browns had a tumultuous beginning here, they got right against the Bengals on Thursday night just a few weeks ago. The Bengals have given you good effort. They go up 21-0, lose to the Colts. You could tell that team is probably a year away from figuring some things out. Joe Burrow looks the part, but we had that tweet yesterday about the cycle of Baker Mayfield. Here we go. Now they're playing an opponent that they are better than, and we're only laying 3. The Bengals might be in this game for 3 quarters. It may not be easy, but you're only laying a field goal here. Cleveland's going to find a way to get this done and sweep the Bengals and win this game, I would think, by at least a touchdown. Is it my favorite of my 3 picks? No. But, look, the cycle of Baker Mayfield is true. Give me the Browns laying the 3, and I think we get to a nice 3-0 laid off the glass this week and up the gut.
Mraz is 12-6 on the year, so he's making good money for you guys. Now on to the football food of the week. And this is an interesting one. I had never heard of this until I saw this in your column. This is a special of your sister's. It is brats in a blanket. Tell us more.
Right. So remember when I pitched that to all the listeners, I said, don't just give me pigs in a blanket. My sister is giving me brats in a blanket. You'll see the Lederhosen's all over the place. Oktoberfest is here. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can't celebrate like we normally would because obviously everything going on with the pandemic, but you could have a nice fest in your house, right? Mm-hmm. Grab some pumpkin beers, get the bratwurst. Get the crescent rolls like you would for a pigs in a blanket. You may want some of that everything but the bagel seasoning, a little butter, and slice up the brats just like you would if you took big hot dogs and made pigs in a blanket that way. They don't sell the little brats too often, so you get a nice fat brat, cut it up, get those crescent rolls wrapped around it. You're going to bake that in the oven, the buttery seasoning on top as well. Oh, you get a nice wiener schnitzel right there. Going wrapped in that pillowy blanket. You get that same pigs in a blanket, lovely, fluffy, flaky, crispy taste, but that brat punch that is so perfect around the end of October. Brats in a blanket. If you want the full recipe, my sister has sent it to me. It is linked in the column. Go to cbssportsradio.com, search up the gut right there. It is there for you. Enjoy that, folks. Oktoberfest is here. Enjoy a weekend of brats in a blanket.
I really like this with the theme of Oktoberfest and the time of the year that it is. Have you ever had brats in a blanket?
Yes, my sister made them, I guess, last year, and I forgot all about them. I had a little housewarming when I moved in October last year, and I completely forgot she made them. She goes, you don't remember? You loved them. And apparently, maybe I had one too many, and I forgot I was eating a ton of them. Also, there's some cheese in there as well. Gives you that Wisconsin feel. So I love them. She claims she's making them again this weekend. So we're back in the mix here, baby. Enjoy the brats in a blanket.
Now, do you grill the brats? Do you pan fry the brats? How do you cook the brats?
So she bakes the brats. She bakes them. I would prefer a grill, but she tells me don't even mess around with the grill. You're going to bake the brat. It's going to cook nice. And it's baking while in the fluffy crust. Like you're wrapping it raw.
Oh, okay. So you're putting it in raw. The whole thing's baking together.
All baking together. So the juices absorb into the buttery crescent roll. The brat gets cooked. Because remember, it's going to cook quicker because it's sliced up into smaller pieces at the end. So it'll be a nice, nice firm brat with the flakiness. And we love that little seasoning on top. A little cheese punching its way through. It's going to ooze. It's going to flake. It's going to do a little bit of everything. And it's really going to make your weekend special.
My only worry here is trying to cut up a raw brat can sometimes be difficult. You know, it can slide all over the place.
Well, you got to make sure you hold firm with a fork or something and just get, you know, not a steak knife. Get a nice, you know, slicing knife. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to be cutting up some raw chicken or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just go in and be very gentle. You don't rush the cut, DA. You rush the cut, you're right, the brat could explode like that, and then you got brat guts all over your cutting board.
Yeah.
Take it nice and easy. Nice and easy. Relax. Easy peasy. You're going to be okay.
Brats in a blanket, this week's Football Food of the Week. Check out Mraz's picks, his Football Food of the Week recipe, and his complete breakdown of the week that is in the NFL by going to CBSSportsRadio.com. Mraz sounds a little bit muffled because he's behind a bag. He's wearing a bag over his head this morning after the Giants collapsed last night. Mraz's rant from hour number one is right now going viral. So if you can check us out on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on CBS Sports Radio's Twitter handle, at CBS Sports Radio, you'll be able to see this video and Mraz's meltdown that happened right out of the start of the show, right off the top of the show.
Catch the ball! I can't do it anymore.
There was near tears under there. I know because I've seen actual tears, but I don't know what your face looked like. I can only imagine. Do you feel like you've gotten enough off your chest this morning?
I do. I'm feeling a little bit better because, you know, I love the 7 a.m. intro we always play, right? You know, it's going to be a good day. I'm going to hang with my daughter. We got my wife's 60th. Not my wife's 60th. Jeez, that would be a weird
wow,
marriage.
Wow, you really married an older woman.
It's my father's 60th birthday. Happy birthday, Bob the Deli Man. So we have that happening this weekend. So I just need a day to decompress. And then we're going to have a nice little weekend around the Mraz compound. And we're going to move on with our lives and understand that we can't be invested in bums that can't catch balls to put games away.
What are you doing for Bob the Deli Man 6-0?
So, Bob the Deli Man, I have been entrusted with the plans here because we can't throw. He had always wanted the big 60th party. We had a big 50th party. You can't do that with COVID, so we got to kind of have our own bubble team, right? The friends and family that have been close to us. So, I have reserved two tables at a brewery within walking distance to my house tomorrow afternoon. So, a little college football for 2 hours with some brewery action here on Long Island. Then we're going to come back to my house for a little bit, continue to watch college football, and then I have dinner reservations at a great spot near me. So I know the owners well. We're going to do a nice dinner and then light a little fire back by me again. So it's going to be a marathon day. We're starting from about noon to midnight, see how long Bob could go. We're getting him an Uber home, and hopefully he lasts and celebrates 60th. So we got a lot going on. Breweries, dinners, fires. It's going to be a whole day.
Okay. Very good. Congratulations and happy birthday to the greatest deli slicer and manager known to man, Bob the Deli Man.
Hey, welcome. I'm Bob. Come on in. This is my bar.
Who airs the DA show every morning at his Food Town supermarket in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. And so, hello from all of us here aboard the mothership.
Bob.
Hey, I'm Bob. This is my son. He wears a paper bag everywhere he goes now.
Come on, Bob. Come on in. This is my bar.
This is where we take out axes and hatchets and slam them into wooden furniture every time that Evan Engram drops a pass.
Go big blue.
This is where we light things on fire every single Sunday, including our jerseys and ski caps.
Go big blue. I might wear this to the brewery, DA. I don't think I look ugly, and you need a mask anyway. So I might trot it out.
It's true. If we allowed fans back in all of these buildings, full capacity, but you had to wear bags over your head, I think that's a win for America. I think it's a win for game atmosphere. I think it's a win for the sports fan in general.
Absolutely. It's a good, cheap alternative. Nobody be complaining about wearing a mask. I'm not complaining today.
Here is one response to the video. Does the unknown Eli Manning understand the definition of insanity? Next time, go to bed, bro. That is George Mraz, who's wearing an Eli Manning jersey, from the handle Zach Martin Rocks.
Oh, I'm hoping that's the Cowboys offensive lineman.
Yeah, it's
not.
Not
the doofus production guy we work with.
I didn't know that Zach Martin, who is a production guy that we work with, has the handle Zach Martin Rocks and the Twitter bio Rock Personality / Big Fat American.
Wait, so it is him? It is our production guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, what a loser. What a loser. He claims to be a Giant fan. He's telling me to go to bed. What a loser. Best part of the pandemic has been not seeing him.
Standing by with our headline this morning is a kind Sir Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
DA, these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. They can't catch passes that might have secured a victory, and they can't stay on their feet for just 88 yards.
Hand off. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
Carl Banks, oh. Bob Papa on WFAN here in New York.
Charles
Daniel
lost
Jones
it.
Falling on his own, an 80-yard run instead of an 88-yard score. The Giants did get into the end zone a few plays later, but as you might have heard, they lost last night, so it was less fun discussing this with Jones postgame.
Try to run faster than I was running and got caught up. So we finished the drive, scored a touchdown, so that was a relief to me for sure.
Now, this reminded me, I don't know if this popped into your head last night, guys. Eric Decker on a Monday night game as a Bronco falling in the middle of the field for no reason, and then his wife coming to the rescue by saying that he tripped over his third leg as a reference to Eric Decker's manhood, which is maybe the greatest save by a wife in world history. I don't know that Daniel Jones got any such love from anybody like that last night.
I didn't see it. I don't think that he did. And I don't think that Eli Manning 2.0 is the type of guy that dates or attracts the Jesse Deckers of the world, where she's willing to kind of be saucy like that. Daniel Jones is a nice guy, but that's going to end up being one of the defining plays of his life. He is wide open after an 80-yard scamper with the end zone in front of him on national TV and just fell because he was trying to run too fast.
Too fast.
Trying to run too fast. I mean, I feel for the kid because he cares. He wants to do well. He throws a good ball, but he fumbles a ton. He throws a ton of interceptions. And now the ultimate highlight on his career is going to be falling down in the middle of the field when nobody's around him en route to the end zone. That's it. That's his career. Sorry.
And people are going to forget, and this is why I want to defend the guy. He could have just been so embarrassed that their drive imploded. He got them in the end zone after that.
He did.
He scored a touchdown.
He did. But that is a football folly forever. That forever. And now in social media, immediately that play went viral within like 30 seconds of it happening.
And this is what I'm talking about. How unfair is that? The biggest folly last night is this doofus dropping the ball to conceal the game. And this quarterback's going to take it because he fell down?
Well, I mean, he does deserve to get clowned, though, because he fell down and there was nobody around him.
We all trip and fall.
When you're carrying the football on national TV as the number, five or six pick in the NFL draft, and there's nobody around you, you fall coming down the stairs because you had too much sodium the night before. He's a professional athlete with nobody around him.
All right. I'll give the kid a break. Give him a break. You got him in the end zone. He ended the game with another pass. That should have been Jones' signature win, but we dropped the pass.
They did drop a pass. Evan Engram did that in between two Eagle touchdowns in the last 4-plus minutes of the game last night. The Giants going from a 21-10 lead to a 22-21 loss.
I just can't
loss.
Take your take seriously as you wear this bag because, again, you look like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre got aged, got fat, and now just watches TV every Saturday night.
What more is Daniel Jones supposed to do to make his mark? And people want to run him out of town for Trevor Lawrence? Make a catch. How can you even tell I'm fat? I'm hiding all my chins, and all you've seen is my shoulders that I worked out yesterday.
And I don't know, because the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy doesn't wear a too tight Eli Manning jersey.
Is it that tight?
You want us to see your shoulder workout results? That's what you're hoping for this morning?
I did a shoulder press yesterday. I'm telling you, my shoulders are fine.
All shoulder press.
I love the idea of some type of slasher film horror villain who's wearing an Eli Manning jersey. Oh no, run for your lives. Here comes an overweight Eli Manning with a bag over his head with a chainsaw. No!
That's a lot of points. 5 minutes left.
No! Please don't kill us, evil fat Eli.
No!
Make all the horror movie jokes you want. Try watching the Giants try to beat the Eagles for the last 7 years. That's a horror movie. Catch the like ball! Now here we are! 1-6!
Brisket Chainsaw Massacre. Oh, don't worry, guys. Kidding. I'm just cutting up the brisket. I'm not here to kill you.
Now,
I'm just really agitated because the Giants blew another lead. Don't worry, I'm not here to kill you. I sound really angry because Evan Engram haunts my dreams.
You are really zen. I have a brisket I started cooking at 5 a.m. as well. It's upstairs in the crock pot right now. I'm finishing off in the grill later, so you even know what I'm cooking right now.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there and I'm go. More with the Dr. Pepper, by the way. I went more Dr. Pepper in here to see how that comes out.
Yeah, that'll do well for your cholesterol and your sugar intake.
Oh, I'm supposed to diet after another loss to the Eagles.
No.
Sue me.
No. You're right. Supposed to eat as bad as possible. I agree. No.
You have an unbelievable talent that's completely predictable to have reasons to eat unnecessarily terrible. Everything is a reason. The Giants won. The Giants lost. The Giants tied. It's my dad's birthday.
Oh,
it's a
what?
Sunday. I had a day. I worked hard.
I'm supposed to not have 13 Dr. Peppers and a brisket after the Giants came back to beat the Eagles for the first time in 13 years? Come on. Oh, I'm not supposed to eat 13 Dr. Peppers and a brisket after the Giants collapse against the Eagles? Come on. What do you want? Oh, I'm not supposed to eat 13 Dr. Peppers and a pork brisket after that guy honked at me at the stoplight because I was a little bit late? I mean, what do you want from me?
Everybody does it.
Yeah,
it must be nice to have no stresses and be able to eat kale and acai every day, guys. I mean, my goodness. What? How great you guys must be.
That's also the default response now, too.
Yeah,
it must
exactly.
be nice because you have the worst life ever.
Yeah, and I just admitted that I crushed 2 dozen wings last night. And Mraz like, oh, I guess all you eat is acai and kale. No. No,
yeah.
that's not the either or here.
But somehow your butt doesn't jiggle after 24 wings. I basically got to pull a ham chop out of me because I had half a milkshake. It's ridiculous.
Because he's not going to have 24 more wings today. Well, you're going to have 3 pounds of brisket and then drink and eat for 12 hours tomorrow and then do it again on Sunday.
No. No. I'm going to have a rice cake before the brisket.
Are those the headlines?
There is other sports news, maybe, I guess. The Raiders... Did I say that the Giants lost last night? Did we get to that point yet?
Yeah.
They
yeah,
did,
definitely.
Right? Okay. Yeah. The Raiders and Bucks are now playing Sunday afternoon, the Cardinals and Seahawks at the primetime spot because Vegas has all of those COVID issues and the NFL wants to make sure there actually is a Sunday night football game this week. And it's the best pitching matchup of the World Series. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers, Charlie Morton for the Rays. He's 3-0. Morton is with a 0.57 ERA in this postseason. Somebody takes a 2-1 lead in Arlington tonight. DA, back to you.
Thanks, folks. Sunday in NFL on CBS doubleheader. Early games featuring two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe, Steelers and Titans. And then later, most of you will see Niners and Patriots, while others will watch the Chiefs battle the Broncos. We get you set for the day's action. NFL Today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. When we return, my tasty top 5 college football game for the weekend is the Big Ten returns. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
This is a tasty burger.
It's the Tasty Top 5.
I'm tasty.
Number 5.
And by the way, it's an Ask the Pros Day, so think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's going to keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Number 5 matchup of the weekend in the SEC, Alabama versus Tennessee. Bama's number 2 in the country. This is the 3:30 CBS game. Bama's more than a 3-touchdown favorite. So the reason this is on the board for me is because of Jeremy Pruitt, who has built Tennessee into a formidable program. Another assistant coach, formerly of Saban, trying to take down Saban. It never ends well. Can Pruitt possibly pull off the upset?
Number 4.
Notre Dame and Pitt. This is also 3:30 Eastern, kick on ABC. Notre Dame's a 10-point favorite. Notre Dame's number 3 in the country, but this one's in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh has a great red zone defense. Notre Dame's red zone offense is terrible. Can the Irish punch it into the end zone? Are they deserving of a number 3 ranking in the country? I don't think so. I think Pitt keeps this game closer than double digits.
Number 3.
As the Big Ten opens up, Michigan and Minnesota is the game of the weekend of the Big Ten. Number 18, Michigan versus number 21, Minnesota. This one's at Minneapolis. What is Jim Harbaugh? This is the night game tomorrow on ABC. Michigan's a 3-point favorite. I think this is all about brand. I like the Gophers to win tomorrow night outright.
Number 2.
I like this matchup just from a storyline matchup. I don't think the game itself is going to be as interesting as Michigan-Minnesota. And it's Penn State at Indiana. Remember that the Hoosiers are coming off a turnaround season last year, and Penn State's on the road. Indiana's played very tight against Penn State the last two outings. This is a 3:30 Eastern kick on FS1. Indiana, they love to create big plays. They led the Big Ten in 20-plus yard receptions last year. Penn State gives them up in bunches. Is Penn State the second-best team of the Big Ten? We'll find out tomorrow afternoon.
Number 1.
It's 2 unranked teams, but it's interesting. On the SEC Network at noon tomorrow, Auburn at Ole Miss. The over-under is 70.5. Points will be scored. Gus Malzahn's on the hot seat. The Tigers are favored by 3.5 points on the road. Lane Kiffin is the new thing of the SEC. Can he put up points against Auburn? Auburn has won 4 of the last 5 games in this matchup. Watch out for Ole Miss to topple that tomorrow. Again, Gus is on the hot seat. Lane Kiffin's got the offense doing good things at Ole Miss, even after what happened a couple of weeks ago. I think this one is the game of the weekend because of the two coaching styles. Auburn, Ole Miss, my number 1 tastiest matchup of the weekend.
I'm tasty.
When we come back here on the DA Show, we continue all NFL, and we'll talk about Ron Rivera versus Mike McCarthy, and this week, who looks worse?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.